From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of April, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson at TGM. Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University will be here to talk about the abandonment of hard red winter wheat acres in his state. And then we'll turn our attention as well to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner will join us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures finished 1-2 higher, soybeans up 9-4, and wheat futures were down 6-2 for the day. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, out of Champaign, Illinois, now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Greg. Let's begin with how farmers have been doing within your draw area at putting the crop in the ground. Have they been busy?
We have been busy up until the rain over the weekend and Monday. I would say in our area, we've probably got 2/3 of the beans in the ground. And we're probably approaching 1/3 of the corn in the ground. Some people are done with beans. Others are just getting started. So that's the way it is almost every year. You have a pretty wide range. Some people focus on corn first. Others focus on beans first. Others want the conditions to be just so, and they don't want to plant ahead of a big rain. Others are a little bit more aggressive. But in general, I would say 2/3 done on beans in our area and 1/3 done on corn.
It is a milestone of sorts that allows producers to think about new crop sales, because now they have a crop in the ground. They know when it was planted. At this point, this is good timing, not bad timing. Have they stepped up to the plate for any new crop sales at all?
They're kicking the tires. I would say that we bought more corn here in the last couple of days than we have in prior weeks combined, and that makes sense. Well, we made new contract highs in December corn today. We approached the $5 level. We didn't quite get to $5, but we did get to $4.99 and a half. So at the highest price that we've seen all year, that should trigger a few sales, and it has. And so farmers are rewarding this rally by selling a little bit. I wouldn't say they're selling a lot, because there are some potentially friendly things out there, and they understand it's a long growing season. And, while we're off to a pretty good start around here, there's a lot of areas, northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, the Dakotas, that basically haven't even started yet. So we've got a long ways to go. So farmers are selling a little bit, but I think they're still optimistic that they can see higher prices further on down the road.
What do you suppose is behind the rally this week?
A lot of it is the wheat crop conditions out west. Wheat has really rallied. We've made two-year highs in both Kansas City and Chicago wheat. Kansas City wheat's up $1.80 from the lows, and Chicago wheat's up $1.50, $1.60 off of its lows. So we've had a very nice rally in wheat. The wheat conditions are only like 30% good to excellent out there. There's some talk about abandoning some fields completely. I think our wheat here in Illinois looks really good, and so that's an opportunity for farmers that do have wheat to reward this market and take advantage of the rally. But I think the wheat rally has spilled over into the corn to some extent. That's number one. Number two, crude oil prices up again. They've really gotten back up over $100 a barrel, and that makes ethanol look a little bit more attractive. That's number two. And then number three, the safrina crop, the double crop corn down in Brazil, I would say maybe 30%, from what I understand, is experiencing some dry conditions. So it's not the whole crop down there, but it's a pretty significant percentage. A long ways to go. They just got it planted not too many weeks ago, so they've got a long ways to go. But the forecast looks a little dry, and it's certainly been dry the last couple of weeks. So maybe a shorter crop out of Brazil gives some positive impetus to corn prices here in the U.S.
Wheat is an oddball in the crops, in that most of it is actually sold across the scale, and I think it's marketed across the scale as well, or has been in the past. You mentioned the producers of soft red winter wheat here in Illinois, parts of Indiana, Missouri, those kinds of spaces, might take advantage of the issues that are coming up in the hard red regions by making some new crop sales. Do they scale in, and how do they manage that?
I think you hit it right on the head. I think they view the wheat crop here in Illinois, anyway, as basically a cash flow commodity. Very few people hold on to the wheat. They just sell it either ahead of time or across the scale, get what they can for it, and then move on for double crop beans and then worry about marketing the regular beans and the regular corn. So, and especially when you're at two-year highs, there's certainly nothing wrong with pre-selling a little bit of wheat at these levels and selling across the scale if the prices stay up. There was a story over the weekend that we did import some wheat from Poland. So, you know, that is a good reminder that we can price ourselves out of the market. The wheat price can get high enough that it will at some point in time come back down again. So, this is a good price for wheat. And I think with a good crop staring us in the face, at least here locally, it might be an opportunity to take advantage of this price rally.
We haven't talked much about soybeans as it's related to pricing new crop there. Are you still talking to producers about them?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're $11.70 on the board. I think we can make money at that price. We seem to get up to these 11.75 levels and then run out of steam. We're still range bound on both corn and beans. The good news is we're at the top end of both of those ranges. So the beans are basically within 5 to 10 cents of contract highs. The corn right at contract highs today. So these are good prices. Well, I don't know if they're good prices. They're as good as we've been in quite some time. I know farmers would argue that inputs are a lot higher and that we're still not at a profitable level on corn. And I understand that. But on beans, I think even with the higher input costs, I think we can make money selling beans at $11.70 on the board.
Have you talked to producers who did not purchase nitrogen prior to now? And have they gone ahead and done that? It would be very expensive. Or are the fields left to the point that they could actually put soybeans in, meaning they haven't put on herbicides mostly?
I think in our area, 80-85% of the farmers did get inputs locked in ahead of time, at least on the nitrogen. I don't think we're going to see a lot of shifting in our area, but I have heard down in southern Illinois, where they maybe for whatever reason didn't get the inputs locked in, that there are some people that are shifting acres from corn to soybeans. So that's potentially friendly. The problem is we don't have another planting acreage report until June 30th. So that's 2 months away. So while we think corn acres will be down and bean acres may be up, we won't know that for sure for another 2 months.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
No, I think that's about it. I think we're at contract highs and, you know, take a look at wheat number one, beans number two, and finally maybe a little bit of corn.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon from Illinois Public Media. Find and listen to us online on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. In fact, if you go there and listen live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Time, you'll hear University of Illinois Agricultural Policy Specialist Jonathan Kappas out of Washington, D.C.'s WAMU's 1A talk show. They'll be talking about the Farm Bill. It is Farm Bill week, of course, in D.C. You'll want to hear what Jonathan has to say, and you can tune that in tomorrow morning right here on our home station or go to willag.org and click all streams and then look for the AM channel. And you can listen live. While you're there, at least while you're online, you can email them a question if you'd like. You can do that at 1A@WAMU.org. That's 1 the number, A the letter, @WAMU.org with your questions. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University now joins us. We usually talk with him once a month about the agricultural energies. Yesterday, we heard instead from Todd Hubbs and Scott Irwin about RVOs and ethanol and biomass-based diesel, renewable diesel, and how all of that works with RINs. Today, we're going to hear from Dan, not about the ag energies to start with, Dan, but about the hard red winter wheat crop, particularly in the western part of Kansas where you are located. It's said that wheat can be killed 7 or 8 times. It looks like this year it might get killed at some point, but you tell me, what the, is the market correct that it's in this bad of shape?
As you drive around the state right now, you see some fields that have been sprayed earlier, been sprayed and are with the intention of planting spring seeded, fall harvested crops into corn, sorghum, maybe soybeans, depending where it's at. I've seen that, I guess, more so in the central part of the state. In the western part of the state, we vary quite a bit. It's, I guess I call it spotty. There are estimates, some market estimates, of as much as 20-23% of the crop to be killed spring crops to come back in. My agronomist colleagues are always cautious with regard to tying their estimates.
I'm going to jump in here because Dan dropped that 23% number, and it's not 20% or 10%. It's 23. That's very definite. It is a market analyst estimate, not his. He did say that he thought maybe something 10% below that, so 10 to 15%, I would think, would catch the range that Dan is discussing, as it's related to hard red winter wheat abandonment in the state of Kansas. Now, let's pick up the interview.
Actually, the cool weather and some rain and higher fertilizer prices for feed grains may play into that some. Higher and again, the recent run-up in the market has made it more tenable to look at 25, 30, 35 bushel wheat than when we were much lower price-wise. So I guess I'm the quintessential two-handed economist President Dwight Eisenhower talked about. We certainly have factors that have hurt production. Frost's also in that, but whether with especially the current factors, higher selling prices, higher costs for necessary inputs on the crops we'd bring in to replace wheat with, et cetera, are all working at present to I guess change that break even point of decision of whether to destroy or not a little more towards the keeping side. My own guesstimate would be that we'll probably hold on with more wheat and in its current situation than the market may fear on the top end side in terms of wheat being destroyed, and probably stay the course, take what we can get, particularly at higher prices, which help mitigate the issues, help mitigate the pain, I guess, of not having a tremendous yield, and then see where we go from there.
Thank you for helping us to ground truth some of that. Can you ground truth the ethanol market for me at this moment too, please?
I do note from a very practical point of view that the price is being paid for corn at ethanol plants. And again, some with the carbon benefits, others with lesser, but still some carbon benefits are higher in many cases than they were a year ago. Here, when you look at in Illinois, the cash price paid for the week ending, as of the 29th, we're about $4.71 in ethanol plants, about $4.65 a year ago. And in we noticed in Kansas especially that we're back up to par, basically $4.59 for cash prices. Here in the most recent reports, $4.56 a year ago, and we were running markedly lower until recent energy market events, et cetera, have all been coming in terms of the current cash price relative to where we were a year ago. So thought provoking with regard to that. I think we can say that the ethanol plants themselves seem to be doing decently in terms of profitability. And I look at the most recent measures of plant capacity, they're inching up to some degree, basically looking at the Renewable Fuels Association plant data, where we're sitting at basically projected U.S. ethanol production of 18.5 billion gallons for 2026. As you look at that, and that would be essentially equal to the record of what we had last year at 18.5 billion gallons. Plant construction going up just marginally, but not going down. So you've got issues like that giving some indication that the ethanol industry overall is covering costs, in some cases making a lot of money, or that's not probably the best way to say it, highly more profitable where they have the carbon income, again, with their close to pipeline. So overall, I think it's a stable industry at this time. Energy market forces are helping them with regard to maintaining profitability, and some, again, with some doing very well, but all doing at least decently, it seems. And we're going forward without terrible concerns right now in the ethanol market.
Hey, thank you much, Dan. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next month.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with Kansas State University Extension. Let's take a look now at the growing regions across the planet. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to help us out. Drew, I'd like to start with the frigid temperatures, particularly in the western growing regions, hard red winter wheat areas that have been happening in recent days. Can you tell me about those and whether they'll move into the Corn Belt?
Yes, certainly this morning we saw temperatures drop into the upper 20s in Nebraska and northeast Colorado. There was a few counties in northern Kansas reporting temperature extremes to 28 this morning. But most of the area where the wheat was headed, though, was not quite that cold, mostly in the 30s, and there shouldn't have been any serious damage from any of this. I did note that in central Nebraska, some minor production areas there did get into the range of 24 to 28, so that's getting pretty nippy. And a couple of spots in northeastern Colorado, a real minor production area near the Wyoming-Nebraska border, also had similar conditions. As far as the future is concerned, we will see a repeat of this morning's temperatures on Friday and again Saturday in hard red winter wheat areas. The only thing that will be different is that Colorado will have a higher number of upper 20 degree lows, and we may see a few more again in the northwest corner of Kansas and then Nebraska. But farther to the east, you mentioned the Midwest, the potential is very good that we're going to see frost and some light freezes occurring across parts of the Midwest Friday through Sunday. And at the moment, it looks like the coldest temperatures where we get down into some upper 20s are most likely going to be in the Great Lakes region, Wisconsin and Michigan in particular. Maybe a few areas in Iowa could get that cold, mostly in the northeast, and maybe a couple of spots in northwestern Illinois might get into a couple of upper 20-degree readings. Everybody else to the south will see 30s during that time period. There may be enough cold in low-lying areas, though, to get some temperatures below freezing in some pockets across the lower Midwest. And if you recall, the crop progress this week suggested that Illinois was 36% headed, I believe, and Missouri was 44% headed. So if the temperatures accidentally get colder than advertised, we could have a little bit of an issue in those two states. But I don't think that this air mass has that potential of getting a great deal colder.
Now, producers, particularly in those areas around the Great Lakes that you put forth, Wisconsin, Michigan, that northern part of Illinois, parts of northeastern Iowa, are really wanting some clear time that they could get into the field. They had been just really wet. Do you think that'll happen?
It is going to be a lot drier in the next week to 10 days. Not absolutely dry, but there's going to be a lot less frequent, a lot less significant rain in those areas. The problem with it is that it's also going to be mild and coolish. And so the drying rates will be slow, and so it might be a little while before we can get back into the fields ideally. And what is probably most important for those producers to keep in mind is that when we do start to warm up, it will come back with rain. And so don't wait until the ground is perfect, because I don't think the window is going to be that big here. And so we've probably got a week, maybe a week and a half to kind of firm up the soil a little bit and maybe get into them a little bit. But I think after that, I think the potential for rain is going to be on the rise again in those areas.
Turn your attention to South America. They would prefer that rainfalls continue late into April. They usually finish about this time, maybe a bit earlier than that. How's the corn crop doing there, the second crop or Safrinha corn?
Yeah, you know, it got off to a great start. And the crop has a good root on it. It's developed fairly well, especially in center west Brazil. You get down into parts of Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, and neighboring areas of Sao Paulo, it's a little different. They never really had ideal soil moisture, at least not in the last few weeks. And the latest soil assessment we did just yesterday suggests that the topsoil is very short of moisture in northern Paraná. And I probably should qualify that, because they did just get a little bit of rain there last night. So my guess is they're marginally adequate to short in northern Paraná today, but subsoil moisture is very short. And we won't see any more precipitation in these southern areas of Safrinha crop country for at least a week and maybe a week and a half, if even then. But as I was starting to say, the topsoil moisture is running pretty limited, but it's the subsoil that's lower. And so if we can't manage to get some timely rainfall for these southern production areas, there will be some kind of threat to the yield. The only good news for those folks is that they are far enough south that mid-latitude frontal systems can still bring rain periodically, like we saw earlier this week. So as long as that occurs in May, they'll eke out an okay crop. But if they miss some mid-latitude frontal rainfall opportunities, I think there could be a smaller crop coming on. Now, for Mato Grosso and Goiás, those are probably the bigger production areas. And the topsoil there runs from adequate in western Mato Grosso to very short in the southeast and east central parts of Mato Grosso. And Goiás is running very short as well. So the subsoil here is running marginally adequate to slightly short. So we've probably got 2 weeks of moisture there before the crop becomes more stressed. And I do think that we are going to dry down. Of course, those areas are too far north to get any serious amount of moisture because the monsoon has ended. So there will be potential for them too to run into a little bit of stress unless something crazy happens and they do manage to get some rain. So I think for this point in time, Safrinha corn's in okay shape. But the potential is looking a little iffy, I think.
Hey, thank you much. And we'll talk more with you about those iffy conditions next week.
You bet. Have a good week.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and helped us to wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media Online on demand at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.